The New Yorker Radio Hour is supported by the Sympathizer podcast from HBO. From executive producers Park Chan-wook and Robert Downey Jr., The Sympathizer is the new HBO original limited series based on the Pulitzer Prize-winning novel of the same name. On The Sympathizer podcast, join host Philip Nguyen in conversation with the cast, crew, and author Viet Thanh Nguyen as they discuss the making of this historic series. Stream new episodes of HBO's The Sympathizer, Sundays exclusively on Max, and listen to The Sympathizer podcast wherever you listen to podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Are you driving your car or doing laundry right now? Podcasts go best when they're bundled with another activity. Like Progressive home and auto policies, they're best when they're bundled too. Having these two policies together makes insurance easier and could help you save. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save nearly $800 on average. Quote a home and car bundle today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $793 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2021 and May 2022. Potential savings will vary.
Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
The comedian Louis C.K. is on his first tour since a sexual misconduct scandal early in the Me Too movement. Now, the details are hardly pleasant to hear about, so heads up, especially if you're listening with kids. The gist of it is that in 2017, after some years of rumors, a number of female comedians came forward and charged that Louis had exposed himself and masturbated in front of them. Louis didn't deny this for the most part, but claims that he believed that these women were consenting. The New Yorker's Hilton Knowles went to see Louis C.K.'s show just as the tour began. Not long ago, you exchanged the high seat of drama critic of The New Yorker for a more generalized criticism. You wanted to get out and see more different things.
Yes.
Great. And so instead of being at the Vivian Beaumont Theater or the Winter Garden, you found yourself at the Yuck Yuck Club, a small comedy club on the Canadian side of Niagara Falls.
Have you ever been?
Not yet.
Yeah.
Watching Louis C.K. trying to gin up a comeback tour. Why was this an event worth getting on an airplane for? Why is it important?
Because Louis C.K. is a really significant artist. And I don't mean just in terms of stand-up or situation comedy. He was a fantastic writer. And also, I think, an incredible politician about race.
I get the distinct feeling that you're just trying to acquire a black friend. Yes, that's exactly what I'm doing. But I'm not doing it for me. I'm doing it for my daughter.
I think his show, where he was co-parenting with his black ex-wife, was one of the more...
This is the FX show. Louis.
Yes. Yeah. Was one of the more astounding things I had ever seen in this culture about race being what you made of it. The thing that was so profound for me as a viewer was that his wife was black and he never mentioned it. It was one of those things that every week there would be 2 to 3 people of color who would call me and say, did you see that thing? Like, he never said it. He never said it. So
right, it's not even a plot point.
It's not anything, you know, and we were able to see him and to see her as humans interacting with each other. It was one of the more liberating things I've ever seen.
But even so, he's got a big career, and then all of a sudden, 2017, 5 women accused C.K. of sexual misconduct, which in some cases involved masturbating in front of them.
Yes.
And that led to FX. They ended their relationship with him. His film, I Love You, Daddy, was shelved. Animated series that TBS was going to do, canceled. HBO canceled some comedy specials, as did Netflix. His longtime manager dumped him. The Disney Channel redubbed his voice in reruns of the animated shows. Gravity Falls. In other words... End of career, it seemed.
Right.
And then you find yourself in Niagara Falls at the Yuck Yuck Club.
Yes.
And you get into this room, and he takes the microphone, and it's a typical comedy club. And how did he do?
Not so good. There were brilliant things about, you know, going to an antique shop and how much he hates the sound of the bell over the antique shop, and also having dinner by himself in a Chinese restaurant, and then talking about, it was actually very moving, imitating the woman who was talking to him, who owned the Chinese restaurant, who was Chinese, and he said, I'm quoting her, I'm not making fun of her accent. And then there was a lovely, incredibly smart moment, I would say about a minute, where he talked about imitating other people. So there were flashes of it, but nothing really sort of added up to a script. Mm-hmm. There was no spine to it at all. He was sort of throwing out information and bits, and it was up to us to hold on to them to try to figure out what he wanted to do. He's really sort of trying to not revitalize who he was, but to establish something new in terms of persona. And the persona wasn't the sort of idiosyncratic everyman. It was now he was a bro dude, and he had gotten caught with his hand in the cookie jar, so to speak. And so he was playing to that audience. He was playing to the stand-up comedians who opened for him, who made dick jokes, who talked about, you know, the science fiction aspect for them of female genitalia. It was all of that sort of smutty 13-year-old boy.
So he's not there to apologize in any way.
He didn't apologize, and he didn't actually make any credible comedic situation to explain what his life had been. For instance, someone that we both love, Richard Pryor, would have become A, the dick, B, the woman, C, Louis looking at the woman, D, the dick looking at Louis. I mean, he would have covered all the bases. Louis just sort of makes a statement about it, and then he goes on to not very interesting situational comedy.
Yeah. So he gets there, and he brings up, he says, if I remember from your piece, do you want to talk about the thing?
Yes.
Well, describe that moment, because that's the key moment in his act.
Yes.
Do you want to talk about the thing?
And the audience cheered and roared, and he said, I can't tell you. This is where he made a mistake as a comedian. He says, I can't tell you much about the experience, except if you ask someone, may I masturbate in front of you, and they say, okay, don't believe them. If they say that they're fine with it, don't believe them. And I think had he used the brilliance that we were so accustomed to, he would have looked past those words and said, I wanted to believe them. And then the bit would have gone on to say, to describe what that was like for him, why it was transgressive, why he wanted to be caught, why a million other things that happen subconsciously when you do stuff in public. So he never went past those words, not even an apology. He was sort of saying, don't do it, guys. It wasn't an apology. It wasn't really a mea culpa. It was a statement.
Is there a generational divide or a political divide when it comes to how people view this comeback of Louis C.K.'s or other?
It was a much young. It was a much younger crowd than I expected, and
very male, right?
I think I would say safely 2/3 of the audience was male and white,
and
I'd say under 40, and I had the panic that you cannot show that no black person in America can show when you walk into the room and you are the only person of color there. I was so relieved at the end of the performance that there was a man of color handing out tickets near the men's room.
There you were.
There we were.
So the audience is white, very male, and also younger. And what you're saying is that the younger audience is somehow more forgiving in that limited experience.
They might not remember his show by now. I mean, 2015 is a long time ago for a young person.
Right.
They might not remember the show. They remember the controversy.
You write in the article that I am interested in performers who try to work through the difficulties in their own lives by addressing them in art.
Mm-hmm.
So here's the big question. Did Louis C.K. succeed at spinning his troubles into anything like art?
No. What he made me do was miss him.
The old one.
Yeah. Meaning I missed his ability to do situational comedy. This was stand-up, which is very different. Stand-up is a series of jokes, and if you hit on a joke that the audience likes, you can tell a story that goes along with it. His real genius and his gift is for situational comedy, to describe taking a car trip with his kids, or to describe, as he does in this show, brilliantly going to an antique shop. He gives so little of that now because I think he's afraid that the audience that he has simply doesn't have the attention span to follow a story from A to Z. As opposed, when he said, I used to play stadiums, that was much more diverse, larger crowd. You can you're walking around with that mic and you're talking to many different kinds of people. It's sort of like jazz singing. You know, you're doing the notes, you're doing the scales, you're doing the orchestration. When you're working in a club like this and you're aware that there's a lower common denominator in terms of audience response, you start to play down. A lot of great comedians, and I'm thinking of amazing people like Lily Tomlin, Richard Pryor, Sandra Bernhardt, they don't bring the material down to the audience, they bring the audience up.
What were you waiting to hear from him in a way? You'd come to the Yuck Luck Club, obviously, to not just to review a show, but to review
a phenomenon,
kind of,
yeah.
Yeah.
I really wanted him to describe himself. I wanted him to be the Louis that I loved, which the person who would have described what those situations were like, not passing any judgment at all on the women, but what his compulsion was. Where did it start? Why was it important for him to masturbate and not be alone? What was it, a performance? Did he want them to like him?
Does somebody like that owe his audience and owe anybody?
I think that like all of us, we owe a certain level of best foot forward to everyone that we're in conversation with in the world. And he wasn't putting any foot forward. He was just kind of dropping the mic, picking it up, dropping the mic and picking it up.
Do you think he's done?
I don't want him to be, actually. There are so few people out there who can use language, and there are so many of us who make mistakes and so many people who suffer. If he could do something, not to redeem himself, but to redeem our belief in him and redeem the lives of those people that he hurt and scarred. He can do it through his art, if he does his art.
Hilton Alls is a staff writer for The New Yorker. Louis C.K. is on tour in Houston and elsewhere.
So let me tell you the story of when I was coming back over the Canadian border to go to Buffalo to go to bed. I'm in the back of the taxi going from the Canadian side back to the U.S. to go to my hotel.
In Buffalo.
And there was a guard, very nice guard, I've never had this experience with law enforcement in my life.
This is at Customs.
Yes. Yeah. And he sees me in the back of the car and my eyes are watering because of the weather. And he says, why were you here? And I said, I went to see Louis C.K. at the Yucca Comedy Club. And he said, why did you come all the way here? And he said, oh, wait, because of the thing? And I said, yes. And then he said, are you crying? And I said, no. He said, and then he handed me a box of tissues. So it was all worth it.
WNYC Studios is brought to you by ZBiotics. Seize the day after a night of drinks with ZBiotics Pre-Alcohol Probiotic Drink. ZBiotics was invented by PhD scientists to break down the byproduct of alcohol, which is most responsible for making you feel crummy the next day. Drink ZBiotics before your first drink, drink responsibly, and you'll wake up refreshed and ready to take on the day. Try it for yourself at zbiotics.com/WNYC and get 15% off your first order when you use WNYC at checkout. That's zbiotics.com/WNYC and use the code WNYC at checkout for 15% off.